Appreciate that singing, instrument playing. Wonderful it is to be able to have that to begin the service with, and thankful for faithful people willing to do that. We're going to be preaching a message tonight. It should be short. I don't know how it'll turn out. And this is, I want to say off the start, this is just a warning. I don't know anything that's about to happen, and you might hear this message that he must know something's about to happen. I don't know anything's about to happen. But the Bible says to warn people and of things that happen or might happen or have happened. And so I just wanted to preach this, and I don't know how you might like it or feel about it, but it'll be what's out of the Bible. And I just want you to pay attention to some things, and I want to warn you about some things. And you'll see what I'm talking about in a minute, but it's not anything happening or anything like that. It's just a warning is all it is. But if you would turn your Bibles, go ahead and be turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Titus chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Titus chapter 1. And it's about church problems. Now, I'm not talking about a problem. I'm just saying we have church problems, right? There's things that happen from time to time that cause people to leave the church. And I'll go ahead and tell you, the number one cause for somebody leaving the church is somebody else leaving the church. Rarely, and actually the only time that it is one is either somebody, or two things. Either somebody leaves the church right, it'll only be that one family. Or somebody is outwardly in sin when they leave, and then they don't take anybody with them. But when somebody leaves wrong, they leave for the wrong reason, almost always take somebody with them. It's just the way it happens. So who causes church problems? Governor Cooper caused problems for the church, right? We can expect people in positions like that to cause problems for the church, but he didn't cause a church problem. There wasn't a problem with the church, but what he did, it causes some trouble, it causes some heartache, it causes some missed services, but that's not what I'm talking about. Whoever shattered four of the windows out in our bus caused us some problems, but it didn't cause a church problem. So who does? Well, there's only one group of people that can cause church problems. Church members. So we need to be careful as church members that we're not the cause of problems. Now, I'm going to read about a lot of things that church members do in these verses. And I'm not saying that people's doing that. But still, we need to be warned. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And then Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. So as I said, there's some things that in Titus there that we don't have that problem with. I don't think we're ever going to have that problem with. But the idea is they're causing people to get out of church. And that is wrong. That hurts everybody all the way around when somebody does that. So We've decided that church members cause church problems. So which church members cause problems? Well, all of them can, but which one to call the most problems? Well, you know that from time to time, you'll have somebody in a church that's actually not a Christian. They're really not saved. Maybe they think they are. Maybe they're faking the whole thing. But they fake it enough to be a member. But they're only going to cause a few problems. They're not going to cause any big problems for people that are founded in the Word of God. And they're usually pointed out by the Holy Spirit. Something happens and they usually will leave quietly. They may cause a big problem for a moment, but it usually doesn't affect very many other church members. I know we've had people come in here, and not that many. One thing that really cuts down on that type of problem here is our new member class. And then they know, you know, what to expect, and that cuts a lot of that down. Well, we still do have people come in, and I've seen them come in, and then, you know, amening all the right places and some of the wrong places and smiling and everything. And then you find out a little bit about them, and then they're gone. And then you have sometimes new members that are not grounded good in the faith and not grounded good in the Word. They may cause some problems, but there again, it's going to be a small problem. They don't have people that's looking to them and following them and expecting them to do right and everything. And it's really not going to affect very many people when they do something wrong. I mean, if you have somebody join a church and they're here 3 months and they leave, probably there's nobody going with them. They're not going to be able to convince anybody, and they're not going to try. It's not going to be that big of a problem, really. As one preacher said, they blow in, blow up, and blow out. I mean, they make a big stink, but then it's over with. And then weak, immature Christians, maybe they've been saved a long time, but there again, they're never grounded in the Word of God. They never take hold. They never become a real active member in the church. Now, they can cause a few more problems, and probably small problems, may affect a few people. I don't know, not that bad. Well, that just about covers it, right? I mean, who else is left? Just the group that causes the biggest problems. The problems that cause the most people to leave the church. Strong Christians that have erred from the faith. There's where your problems come in. A strong Christian that stays straight, that stays faithful, that stays reading the Word of God, that stays in prayer and fulfills their position in the church, you don't have the problem. But it's when something gets in their craw, when something that happens that they don't like, they'll quit praying, they'll quit reading, they'll quit studying, and eventually get out, and usually pull as many as they can with them. That's just the way it happens. They didn't lose their salvation, but they have erred from the faith. They have erred from what they know is right. Now, Paul even said this of himself, 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, Paul was saying he could mess up. He could be one of those strong Christians after all the people that he's led to the Lord, all the preachers that he has ordained, everything that he had done, all the letters that he had written out, and he said, "I got to keep my flesh under subjection or I could become a castaway." Our flesh will get us in trouble. If Paul thought he needed to be on guard, we should follow his advice that he gave Timothy in verse 19. "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Paul's saying, some of them said, he doesn't want to be that castaway. He doesn't want to be on, he was literally on a shipwreck, but spiritually, he didn't want to be a shipwreck. He didn't want to, when a ship goes down, it's usually more than one person. That'd be called a boat, but a ship, when it wrecks, there's loss of life, there's turmoil, there's tragedy. And Paul is telling Timothy, hold the faith and a good conscience, because those that don't do that end up in a shipwreck. So how do these strong Christians become the troublemakers? And I know I'm preaching to, this is Wednesday night, I'm preaching to the strong Christians. I'm not saying there's not any that don't come on Wednesday nights that's not a strong Christian, but generally, for the most part, these are the strongest Christians in the church. The Bible puts it in the terms, in Numbers chapter 16, they take too much upon themselves. Numbers 16, 1 through 3. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel. 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now, when you have men like this stand up, they can cause a lot of trouble when they go against God's man. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, now this is, they're saying this to Moses, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Well, it seems like they have forgotten everything that Moses had done for them. Moses is the one that went to Pharaoh and got him to let him go. Moses is the one that listened to God how to get to where they were going. Moses is the one that listened to God and opened up the Red Sea. Moses is the one that listened to God and gave them water and gave them food. But now he's saying, we're just as good as you. But God wasn't speaking to them. God was speaking to Moses. But they didn't like it because they were men renowned. They were princes. They were high up. But they weren't getting the recognition. I think I've left a verse out. But Moses turns that around and said, no, you are taking too much upon yourself. They were trying to take in Moses' part. They were trying to become they wanted to become like Aaron. They wanted to become the priest. So when people don't get the recognition, they start looking for faults. They were looking for faults with Moses. They were looking for faults with Aaron. And they caused trouble. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but Moses said, all right, we'll pray about it. We see who's God's going to speak to. And God opened up the ground and swallowed those men. You have to be careful when you're going against, when you're causing trouble in God's church. And then, maybe that's not what it is, but I call it being shanghaied. Now that's being coerced or tricked into doing something or going somewhere or being somewhere that you really didn't want to be. Now I know that we all have close Christian friends, and we should have close Christian friends, and we're going to be closer to some than we are to others. And that's fine. That's just, we can't be the same with everybody. We have different likes, different dislikes. We don't live in the same area. And we're going to have closer friends. But we should be close enough to Jesus that when that friend goes astray, when he begins to murmur like these men did about Moses. I mean, they just didn't come together that one day and all agree and say, come out with the same story. Somebody started saying this and saying that. And eventually this is what it led up to. So if you really have that close friend, hopefully that when they begin murmuring, you're close enough that you can say, what are you talking about? You shouldn't be doing that. And not be on the other, go the other direction and start listening to them. I've had people tell me, I've heard it over and over, they said it and they have no reason to lie. They've got 46 of them. They're called chromosomes. It makes them human. And they lie. They may even think they're telling the truth, but they got no proof because it's not true. They're dissatisfied about something. And then you would think, oh, they would never say that. They would never do that. When people feel slighted, they tell their side of the story. And the more slighted they feel, the more truth they leave out of the story. It's amazing to me that two Christians that can't get along in church, if you get both of them out of church, they're best friends. They've got something to bond over. Well, I'm glad we got out of that church. But now they couldn't give you a scriptural reason for leaving. Does something happen they didn't like? Most people don't leave a church right. I've left two churches. The pastor knew why I was leaving with one. The other one I was interim pastor in. And I left when that was over and came here. When I left the one, the pastor I went to knew everything as why. When I come here, the pastor knew everything about why I was here. They don't have a biblical reason for leaving church. I don't have any numbers in front of me. I would say that's probably somewhere between 80 and 90%. They don't have a biblical reason. They don't go to the pastor and talk to the pastor. They don't talk to the new pastor about what's going on. Sometimes it may be because of backslidden shame that they leave. But that's really, again, I said a while ago, they get in trouble and they leave. That usually doesn't take anybody with them. They don't have any ground to stand on. They can't convince anybody to go with them because they're already ashamed. They're not talking to anybody. But lots of times, something didn't go their way, and they begin looking for an excuse to leave. And when they find the least little thing, they start this. Did you know this? I think that. Did you hear that? Well, I tell you what, I don't know why they did that. But people say, but they're my friend. Sometimes I think we need to have a checklist and to say what a friend should do. What qualifications do you have for somebody to be your friend? And what qualifications, just because they're your friend today, are they going to be your friend 20 years from now, no matter what they do? Well, when they left church, did they take somebody with them? Now, I wouldn't treat them bad, but I wouldn't call them my buddy anymore. So just think about this. Someone that took someone out of this church is your friend. Think about it. Are they encouraging you to leave? Because that happens. Have they allowed others to go with them? Did they lead the church and talk about people and take other people, cause other people to go out? Again, I'm not going to mistreat anybody that does that. I'm going to say hello to them, but they're not really going to be my friend. It's not my place to go out and correct them and make them come back and try to drive them back in. But I can tell you right now, they're not going to talk to me about it anyway. Oh, well, some people went with them, but there wasn't nothing they could do to stop them. Yeah, it was. Yes, it was. And then, did they have a biblical reason to leave? And I can answer that one for you. You don't know because they didn't tell you. Because if they had a biblical reason, they'd let you know. They'd talk to the pastor about it if they had a biblical reason. Most of the time when somebody leaves the church, the pastor may have some idea why, but they didn't come to him and tell him. They just left. And then we need to beware of those that treat any preacher disrespectfully. Our pastor, any preacher. If there's a church member here, and maybe they uplift our pastor, but talk about another one, they're on dangerous ground.
Yeah, that's right.
I know men of God that have failed, but I'm not going to talk about them and put them down. Whether it's disrespecting in words or in deeds. You say, well they didn't mean anything by it. Well, you don't have to mean anything by it. It's still wrong. I'm going to read some scriptures here, and you tell me how serious you think God takes doing something to his man. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And verse 9, he said unto me again, stand, I pray. This is the young man speaking. He said, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me because my life is yet whole in me. Now, to set the stage for this, if you don't recognize the story in, or the word of God about Saul dying, they were in battle. He had been injured. He couldn't leave. He couldn't protect himself. And he is asking this person to kill him because he knew he was going to die. And he knew that they would torture him if they come. So I stood upon him and slew him because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. He didn't help him. He didn't try to save his life. He didn't try to hide him. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them hither unto my Lord. He thought he was doing David a favor. And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. I know God deals with us a lot differently than he did in the Old Testament because most of us probably done something in our life we'd already been stoned to death. I don't mean God likes it anymore. First Peter chapter 5, 8 and 10. We're already getting pretty close to the end of the sermon. I thought it'd be pretty quick. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So we know that Satan loves to cause people to cause church problems. We do have an adversary. He is vigilant. He is smart. He is wise. And that's what he wants. He will influence us to do that very thing. But if we're strong Christians, that's the ones I'm talking about, right? Strong Christians. I ain't talking about somebody that got saved yesterday. Strong Christians ought to be able to recognize when somebody is influencing them to do wrong. Now then, I thought about this. Satan can come as a roaring lion, but a strong Christian is going to see that right away. That usually don't work on a Christian, a strong Christian. And I thought about this. You know, when a cat could even be playing with you and scratch you, right? Well, I remember one time our son got the bright idea to put the cat on top of his head. And you know what happened. You know how many times he did that? One. But we were afraid that he was going to get cat scratch fever. Because a cat can scratch you and it can become and get infected. And they give you antibiotic. And generally, if it gets infected and you get the antibiotic, everything's fine. I don't remember if we had to get him any or not. But usually, it's nothing major. But if you have your immunity, something depressing your immune system, you can get very sick. You can die from cat scratch fever. So usually, when Satan comes as a purring cat and scratches us a little bit, we get over it. But what if he comes from this angle, and then from this angle, and then from the other angle, and we get to where we're not recognizing that it's Satan, and we begin to feel like it's somebody in the church, it's the pastor, it's that teacher, it's that deacon, it's that person that sung my song, it's that person that sat on my... And that infection begins to grow. And instead of taking care of it, it begins to grow more and more. Now, the problem with cat scratch fever is it can cause an infection in your heart. And when we allow things that happen to us in church to fester, we get a spiritual infection of the heart. When we get completely out of church. But there's medicine available for cat scratch fever. Jeremiah 8:22 says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Hebrews 12:13, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Matthew 8:7, "And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." So when we begin to see things that we think might be wrong in the church, things that go against our flesh, things that go against the way we want them to go, instead of letting it fester, instead of letting it get worse, we need to go, first of all, to the Word of God and to praying to God. And most of the time, that'll take care of it. But when we go to our friend and tell them about it, and they go to their other friend and tell them about it, and then that friend tells them something, and they come back and tell you that, then you've got another scratch, and then you find somebody else, and then it goes in a circle, and you just keep scratching each other. And it keeps festering up. And every time you hear something else that's affecting somebody, it makes more concrete what you think is going on or what you think is wrong or how bad you've been treated. So if you're here tonight, even if you've never done anything like this, but I want you to be aware that Satan wants to influence you in any way he can to leave the church. Whether it's through a close friend, whether it's a friend in another church, or whatever. Something on Facebook, something your family says, something you think you saw, take it to the Lord. And then, if it's something you know is scripturally wrong, you should go to the pastor. But it's almost never scripturally wrong. It's just something that goes against the flesh. So don't let things like that happen. But we're not going to have a hymn tonight. We are going to come and pray for revival, like we've been coming and praying on Wednesday nights. And if you have had any influence from anybody, come to talk to the Lord about it. I don't know anything that's going on. Again, I don't know anything that's going on. But not only that, come and pray and ask God that if anything like that ever happens, that you'll come straight back to Him and talk to Him.